Hey, time right now is 8:30. Good Friday morning. Welcome to the WLBB Community Voice on News Talk 1330, FM 106.3, streaming live online at newstalk1330.com. And this morning, we're on the News Talk 1330 WLBB Facebook page. You can see my handsome, skinny young guest. His name is Stacy Williams. He is the sheriff over in Harrelson County. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Colin.
And are you cold?
Dude, this is like a deep freeze meat locker back here. Y'all are cold. You must be keeping the clamp down on germs and something in here.
And plus, you know, we put the lights on in the studio. It'll warm up.
Well, I've lost weight over the last year, and I don't have the proper body fat to keep my body warm no more. So, you know, should have been a hint when I seen y'all wearing these long sleeve pullovers. Yeah, I should walk back out in my vehicle and get something.
Toboggan too. You talk about you losing weight over the last year. When are you going to do one of these videos? Like, I saw Sheriff Langley this week. I mean, he's got like a 30-second video where he's doing jumping jacks and push-ups, and he's got like a, you know, what's that weight?
Cattlebell.
Yeah, cattlebell. I mean, it was only like a half a pound, Sheriff. You could do a little bit better than that, but it was, I mean, it's like 30 seconds of Terry Langley showing off his moves.
Well, I would just, I don't see a video of my statue coming in no time soon, no. But I commend Sheriff Langley for do it. You know, everybody has a different road. I done mine a little bit differently. I did incorporate the gym. I did go to the gym for a little bit. And I don't know. Everybody has a different road. Mine was, of course, as I said before, I had some thyroid issues last year. Got inundated with stress and stuff like that. Thyroid, I didn't really know it much about thyroid. I know a lot about it now. But it just quit working. I got it back working. Went on a diet in January. No sugar, no bread, fried foods. And kind of went from there. And then as time comes on, I've done a lot of things. I take vitamins every day like I did a while ago. I take a good B complex. I take magnesium, glycinate. It's one of the amino acids, 12 different types of magnesiums to take. But the glycinate is the best for the body. It absorbs better. It's a mineral. We have to have minerals. And, of course, we don't eat enough green leafy substances to get the proper minerals that we need. Hey, I'm 55 years old now. You know, as we get older, you know, our body changes and stuff like that. So you kind of got to do what you got to do. And then I take a zinc every day. I take fish oil. I drink extra virgin olive oil before I go to bed and get up. Yeah, I drink it straight. Yeah, I put a little water with it, but I drank it. But that cleans the arteries out. You know, when I went back to the doctor, I constantly monitor my levels because I've been on a health kick for the last year. I said, hey, if you're going to do it, okay? It starts today, and I tell everybody it's all about willpower. You start today, you make it through the day. A day turns into a week. A week turns into a month, and before you know it, you change habits, your daily habits like that right there, and then it becomes second nature, and you don't have to think about it no more. It just becomes second nature. So I lost a total of 72 pounds doing this, and I had a lady come up to me back in October, and this is the funny part, and I'm going to say this, but I had a lady come up to me, and I don't remember the you see a lot of people, you don't know their names, but I'm bad on names, but she looked at me, and she said, you're fat. And I said, yes, ma'am. I've been having a little problem with my weight here lately, and I'm going to get something done about that. I went home and told my wife, I said, I'm going to the doctor tomorrow. Something's got to be wrong. And, of course, done blood work and stuff, and it's when it comes to the thyroid, here's normal range. You got the low side and high side. I was on the high side. Mine just quit, and everything else looked great in the body and stuff like it, and it was just more of a your daily eating habits, your stress of the job and stuff like it. I pour a lot of energy into this job. I work 6 to 7 days a week. From night to day, my day starts 4:35 in the morning, and usually 8:30, 9 o'clock at night I'm in bed. We get called out at nighttime. I'm a working sheriff. I go out with the boys. If a door needs to be kicked in, I'm out there with them. I'm boots on the ground, and that's just been doing this for 33 years. We love the people, and we're here to give the citizens of Harrelson County the right substance.
Well, see, obviously, you could set a good example for your employees, but is anybody following that at the sheriff's office? I mean, are they like saying, oh, well, heck, the sheriff's lost an 8-year-old kid.
I don't know if I can answer that question, but it's just I don't ever ask them. Just you lead by example. I set the tone. We're here to help folks. We're here to do the right thing. And the word of the day in my agency is integrity. Integrity means doing the right thing, and I expect everybody to follow it. You know, we have problems on the inside of the agency. We got about 80 plus, you know, around 80 employees, give or take. And, you know, it's hard to be at every level, at every decision making that these employees make, you know. I mean, do we have problems? Yes, we have problems. Any agency, any business has problems. That's just the daily grind of things. And then if you look at it, you got the problems out on the street. Harris County's got 30, 31,000 residents. We got all kinds of crime. We got all kinds of things going on. So now you have, you know, the outside that you have to worry about. So in my position, being the sheriff, I put my britches on just like you do. I am no better than anybody else. I got elected. I told the people what I was going to do and what, you know, I look at the issues. I talk to people across the county. And I look at what, I listen, and I take the feedback back, and these are the problems we go handle. And we do our best within the conditions. I mean, we're short on staff, you know, funds and stuff like that, but we do our best to take care of the problems and issues in the county. And we're here to help people first and foremost. We do a lot of community programs to help the different people across the county. And plus, we go out here and we enforce the rule of law. You know, and here lately, it's good. We have multiple duties that we have to do on a day-to-day basis, and we put out news releases and stuff like that. But, you know, that's not just the tip your hat and, you know, this and that. It's to let people know to what we're doing. And that was one of the campaign issues back in 2020, how the people didn't know what was going on in the county. How are you going to do this? They cut the Tallapoosa Journal paper out, and part of our program. Or
Mixon had a lousy PR person, too, I think.
I'm sorry?
Sheriff Mixon had a lousy PR person.
Well,
I mean, he just did a horrible job over there.
Well, what I did was, you know, again, I listened to the news. You know, a lot of people, I listen to the news. You got different people coming at you. You got news organizations. You got the people on the street. But you have to collectively take all this information, and where I said I have to harness, okay, how am I going to fix this problem? So I addressed that issue. I got a full-time PIO, but they're not only also a PIO person. They have a lot of other duties. They run departments and stuff like that. So, I mean, a lot of my people are at least triple task in their duties and what they do. They just don't have one job and then the rest of the day they sit around. Mm-hmm. No, it don't work like it. If I got people like it, then we need to find them something else to do. We're not serving the people that, you know, like we need to. So I think we've done a good job of that. We put it out there, and if I tell people, look, if you want to know what's going on, you know, check our Facebook out. It's free. That's a public service to the people that we serve here in county, and it doesn't cost nothing. We're all about saving taxpayers' money. But we have to do the things we have to do. I'm a constitutional officer. I have mandates that I have to perform on a daily basis, and you wouldn't get in trouble for not doing it, but I will, okay? That's my job. That is what I'm sworn to do, and that's what I have to do, too, by the nature of law. But we put this information out there, and I tell people, you know, some people say, well, you're always in the newspaper, or you're always on social media, you're this and that. And I just tell them, I said, look, you know, we're here to perform a service to the people. We're here to do good things, but we're here to inform the people. If you don't want to read it, then don't look at it. Just dismiss it. Go on about your business. But if you do, it's out there. We put the information out there, good or bad. It doesn't matter. We screw up, we're going to tell you we screwed up. But you got to be up front. Yeah, I'm not a politician. I tell people, I put my britches on like you do. I'm just an old country boy. I've been doing this 33 years, learned a lot, got education. I try to harness all that because I've done the job. And I combine all that right there. And I get out here and I work for the people. That's what you're supposed to do. Sheriff is the closest elected person to the people of any elected official in county. I get out every day. I go see people. I talk to people. I find out what's going on. I let them know what's going on. And we have meaningful conversations. So, and then, you know, when something going on, I just had a phone. Well, when I came in, I was on the phone. Well, I had a guy call him and tell me about something that I need to know about. He wanted something checked into. And sure enough, it will be checked into. You know, a problem issue going on.
Well, not everybody's got your phone number, right? What's the typical, you know, somebody that has a concern? What's the typical route to make that happen?
You talking about to get my phone number?
Well, no. If they have an issue, they have a concern, something, you know, like something in their neighborhood they're concerned about. Is it best to contact through social media, to call the sheriff's office?
So we developed we got a website, HarrisonCountySheriff.org. You can go to our website. We created a jam up website that allows people to anonymously. You know, a lot of people don't want to put their name out there. Sure. If you want to put your name on there, but you can. And when you can go to our website, you can submit a tip or a complaint or whatever it is, and we will investigate it. Everyone, and we get them every day. And when we do that right there, we follow up on these tips. We prioritize things. We look at it amongst all the other 900 things that we got going on. But that's one of the ways. I put my phone number out. I got cards in my pocket. Everywhere I go, I give cards out and say, this is my phone number. If you need to call me or text me or let me know something, you call this number. I try to be very accessible to the public. And that's how you get things done. I want people to know that you have a voice in the law enforcement realm that we will listen to you. I will talk to you. And I probably average about anywhere from 5 to 15 messages a day. I don't take voicemails. My staff writes it on a little pink notepad with the details. I average get on phone calls a day, I average anywhere from 35 up to about 60 phone calls a day. And I address every one of them. I call them back. It don't matter what time it is, I get back to them. And then I have to deal with my normal business. You know, we're constantly planning. We got all kinds of things going on. When I go to work every day, I sit in my office. I'm out on the street. I come back in the office. And I have interdepartmental matters I have to take care of. I get briefed on different situations. And, you know, we're constantly doing different types of operations within the agency, within the realm of what we do. So I'm involved in that. And then, of course, you got the people from the street coming in. You know, they want to have a meeting with the sheriff. Got a meeting today at 11 o'clock with a lady that wants to talk about an issue. So I constantly do that. So my day is pretty much taken up all day.
Good old country boy, Harrelson County Sheriff Stacy Williams, our guest on this morning's Community Voice program. I was checking out your jail roster this morning, and there's a couple of interesting things in there mm-hmm. that I'd like to talk about when we come back from this break. I mean, it may not be anything, but it kind of seems significant. Time right now is 8:43. We'll be back with more Community Voice after this.
The World Language Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is designed to provide students with a clearly defined, curriculum-based track to acquire essential knowledge and skills for success in biliteracy fields of study. The successful completion of this journey provides colleges with a method to recognize a rigorous foreign language immersion experience for all students at Oak Mountain Academy. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Health is a journey. It's making better choices, even when it's not easy. It's taking care of yourself and the people you love. At Tanner Health System, we're there for you with every step, with primary care, heart care, cancer care, women's care, orthopedics, surgical services, and so much more. We're dedicated to helping you live and feel your best. So let's get on that journey to health. You've got places to be for many years to come. Find us at Tanner.org.
Welcome back to the WLBB Community Voice, News Talk 1330 FM 106.3. My name is Colin Worthington. My guest this morning is Harrelson County Sheriff Stacy Williams. Got a couple people that have checked into the program this morning. Darlis Monroe says, doing a fantastic job, Stacy. So proud of your changes and accomplishments.
Thank you, Darlis. Yes, ma'am.
Lyndon Smith says, Stacy, keep up the great work.
Thank you, Lyndon.
And Hazy Lytle has put something on there. I don't, encouraging you to run for sheriff in Carroll County if you had any interest. You could do it in both counties as the suggestion there.
Well, I will tell you this. I'm a Harrelson County native. I'd have to pass the residency test, but I think Sheriff Terry Langley, I think Terry's doing a great job. Terry is a mentor sheriff for me. He's always been at my beck and call when I had to call. You know, we work good with our surrounding sheriffs. Terry, we've talked about working on some things together. We got some things in play. If you look to the north of us, Sheriff Moats up there, Johnny Moats, he's an awesome guy as well. He's a wealth of information, and I talked to him and Chief Jonathan Blackman. A lot of Gary Gulledge in Paulding County, we work great with him. Gary's like a mentor sheriff to me. Paulding County has helped us so much. You know, a lot of times over the last 2.5 years, Paulding County has a SWAT team, and we've utilized their SWAT team along with the Georgia State Patrol. But Gary's been there night and day. If I called him at 1 o'clock in the morning, he would get you the resources that you need. I mean, it's just awesome. But on the same token, a sheriff will help another sheriff. If they call me, I will send resources to help that neighboring county. Well, we all work together.
Paulding County, you share that drug task force, right? It's Harrelson Paul.
We do. Yeah. So it's the Northwest Drug Task Force. Up to about 3 months ago, it was the Paulding Harrelson Drug Task Force. Well, now we've incorporated. It's just not Harrelson County and Paulding County, but now we've let Polk County enter into it. So now it's you consist of Harrelson, Paulding, and Polk. And when you look at Polk, you've got Cedartown Police Department, you got Polk County Sheriff's Office, you got the Polk County Police Department, you got Rockmart City, you've got, I think, Aragon's on there, and am I forgetting one? And I'm on the GBI control board, so we voted. I'm in part of all that as far as, you know, coming in. And they have to meet the requirements and things like that, just like you would to be a GBI officer and stuff. Because when the officer comes in, they are, even though they're, I have three deputies working up there, but they're also sworn through the GBI, so they have to meet the GBI procedures, protocols, and all that. Just like an agent would. So it's a pretty cool thing.
So I guess the benefit of that is just more resources?
It is. Let's say that Harrelson County, let's say that we had something in Harrelson County happen. Well, having a drug task force like that right there, I can pick up the phone, call Commander Steve Sweat, and say, look, I've got this and that. And if he had, say, 8 people, I would get those 8 people. They would send them down. But now that we added Polk County, when the phone call goes out, and let's say that they added 5, 6, or 7, now I've got that's manpower that we have, and it ain't gonna cost us nothing. You know what I mean? It's just that's a source. But if Polk County or Paulding County needs something, you know, my guys on the task force goes there too. So
time right now is 8:48. My guest this morning, Harrelson County Sheriff Stacy Williams. Talking about the drug task force, and I'll go back to checking out the jail website this morning. I mean, some significant charges: trafficking cocaine. There's 3 or 4 people that were arrested. I think 2 of them at least shared an address. Is that? I mean, it's always a big deal when you're taking that off the streets. But I'm assuming that trafficking, that was somebody who was bringing drugs into the community and attempting to sell those.
Yeah, we had 2 arrests yesterday. We hit 2 houses in Harrelson County yesterday. We're continuing our drug action across the county. As you know, we have, for the last few weeks, our guys have been, we work awful hard. My drug task force, I have 3 guys on the drug task force. We get inundated with numerous drug complaints. It's out there. As long as we have open borders, down on the Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, and stuff like that.
Not those Canadians?
Well, I'm sure it comes in up there too, but this is mostly due to the cartels. Mm-hmm. We have about 4 cartels that operate in the state of Georgia in our region. And unfortunately, meth is, I mean, it's like a Walmart price. It's the cheapest. Nobody makes it no more. I mean, if they do, I'm not saying that they don't. It's just, it ain't like it was once upon a time back in the early 2000s, mid-2000s, when we was taking down drug labs and stuff like it. The state has passed numerous laws now to where it makes it so much harder to get these ingredients to make the meth. The Mexican drug cartel, they bring it in conveyances like diesel fuel, some type of liquid form. Atlanta, being a southeastern hub for the southeast, you know, part of the United States, is the hub where it comes into, and from there it gets filtered out into the communities. And the new trend is, and it's been going on for the last 2 or 3 years, is it's what's called conversion houses. So they'll bring the material or the meth and stuff like that across the border. They'll have it in a conveyance like, I want to say, diesel fuel or some type of liquid form. They put it in the liquid form. When it goes to a conversion house, it's just like it was when it was back in school. You change something from one physical property to another. And they use acetone at these conversion labs to say they use netting or a filter, like, I don't want to say bed sheets or something like that. They use something else. But when they pour it out, it's kind of like salt water. You know, salt water has a lot of salt in it. And if you could take that salt out and filter it out, mm-hmm. the water would go through, but the salt would remain.
Still sounds, you know, it's in gasoline.
Yeah, diesel fuel, not gasoline, but most of the time it's diesel fuel and stuff like it. It's dissolved mm-hmm. inside it. You can't, unless you had a way to test it, open the container up and test it, mm-hmm. where it would show positive for meth, you know, it's in a liquid form. Look, drug cartels employ scientists, some of the smartest minds, pay them god-awful amount of money to come up with different ways. And this is one of the ways. And you look at trends and stuff like that. If you look at the early 2000s, look, Colin, I've done drug interdiction for a long time. I've arrested a lot of drug dealers and things like that, especially working the roads to the street level. And I've got a lot of drugs in my time. But till after 2010, 14 or 15, 16, and that's when I started getting meth. And it's been around for years. Mm. It's just that the drug cartel has pushed it, and it's just the choice. And plus now they're lacing it with fentanyl. Well, fentanyl is a very strong drug. It's 100 times more powerful than like morphine and things like it. And it doesn't take, I wish I could show the viewers how much fentanyl it would take to kill everybody in this building. You take a salt shaker and just put about 4 or 5 little granules on the table, and that's enough to kill everybody in here. But it's like, you know, in the United States, when we buy drugs, it has to go through the FDA process to ensure the consistency of the drugs. Well, these people that make these products and stuff like it, when they add this fentanyl in there to give it that extra kick, a more sedatic, sedation mm-hmm. kick and high, it doesn't get all mixed up right. And that's what happens when it's like cooking a cake. You know, if you don't stir your batter, you get a little clump over here. And that's kind of the way I look at it and explain it as an analogy that when somebody gets it and it hits them, I mean, it just shuts them down. It just sends it hard into overdrive and it shuts them down. And we're seeing more and more fentanyl-related issues. You know, year before last, we had we responded to 120 overdoses. We narcanned around 90 or 91, and we lost about 36 people. You know, due to mm-hmm. drug overdoses and stuff like that. As we was talking earlier, if you look at the crime in Harrison County, I'm big on statistics. Right now, the crime rate is probably the lowest it's ever been in history. I mean, we can show, I just got some new data in yesterday, and I haven't got the percentages in. I compared the last 2 years, and I was looking, and I was going to try to get some percentages to spit out, but it's dropped off. I mean, it really has. And I attribute that to just getting out here, hitting the street, and being tougher on crime, you know, going after the drug dealers, going after the thieves, taking the fight to their front door. And that's what you have to do. And when I talk to people across the county, they're happy. They're happy. And when you reduce crime in all different levels like that right there, our communities enjoy a better livelihood, okay? They don't have to worry about going to work, coming home, you know, this and that. Do we still have it? Yes, we're always going to have it. But it's how you deal with it. We can't be everywhere at the right time and stuff like that. And a lot of times during our investigation, it's sad that we have to take these reports and we have to investigate these crimes, but there's no solvability factors at the time. There's just no, you know, I've got a crime scene personnel. We solve crimes. We've solved all kinds of burglaries from fiber evidence to where we can take that now. We've got the right people to do this. We've never had that before. You know, from fingerprinting a crime scene, you know, taking that fingerprint and our DNA to match it up to CODIS or something like it, to a known criminal or something that's been in the system. And we're solving crimes. We just got a hit from 2 years ago where we processed the crime scene, and it was a burglary. So, I mean, why is this person's fingerprint inside your house? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It just shouldn't be that. I mean, and at the end of the day, I'd love to take that case to a jury because we're going to show the jury, why is this person, when these people do not know this person, how did that fingerprint get inside that house?
Time right now is 8:55. We're going to come back with about 4 minutes left on the Stacey Williams Show. So I'll check your comments and stuff on Facebook one more time. Community Voice brought to you by Tanner Health System, Oak Mountain Academy.
The Entrepreneur Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is designed to provide students with a clearly defined curriculum-based track to acquire essential knowledge and skills for success in business and leadership. Critical areas include identifying entrepreneurial characteristics, selecting a value position, and business model development. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Health is a journey. It's making better choices, even when it's not easy. It's taking care of yourself and the people you love. At Tanner Health System, we're there for you with every step, with primary care, heart care, cancer care, women's care, orthopedics, surgical services, and so much more. We're dedicated to helping you live and feel your best. So let's get on that journey to health. You've got places to be for many years to come. Find us at Tanner.org.
Perfect, dog. 856. Welcome back to the WLBB Community Voice on News Talk 1330 FM 106.3. My name is Colin Worthington, Harrelson County Sheriff Stacy Williams with us as we wrap up our program. Flock cameras are all the rage. I think Villarica just added a few more in the past month. Carrollton seems like they have about 580. I mean, you really can go pretty much anywhere and see those. And they are turning out to be a pretty valuable tool.
It's an awesome tool. Yeah. Awesome tool. Technology is wonderful. And that's one of the things as sheriff is since I've been sheriff, we've incorporated technology into the ranks and file in our system. And people, does technology cost? Yes, it does. But let me tell you something. When it comes to solving crime, I mean, we're in business to solve crime, go after perpetrators and stuff like it. Technology like the flock camera system is invaluable. Invaluable. It can look at it like this. A flock camera, when you put one up, not only does it, you know, check for warrants, stolen cars, wanted people, and blah, blah, blah. I mean, it does a lot of things for us. But you don't have to feed it. It's 24/7, 365 days out of the year. It works in all weather, and we don't have to feed it or whatever. And once you buy it and put it up, it's there. It is one of the best tools to be able to help solve crime. They're expensive.
Expensive. Do you see those at the point where it's actually a deterrent for criminals to come into the community? Like if you think about somebody coming from a neighboring county or Atlanta or whatever who may want to come to Carrollton and, you know, commit some kind of crime, do you ever see that if the word gets out that, hey, they have flock cameras everywhere, is that actually potentially a deterrent?
So let's look at it like this. I would say yes and I would say no. You got some people out there that if they understand that technology, they say, you know, they're not going to do it because it could lead to an apprehension if they commit a crime. But let's look at it on the flip side. You got some out here, they don't care. They'll borrow a buddy's vehicle. They'll go steal a vehicle. Or, you know, there's different ways to mask their identity or something like it. But in the end, it's a great tool. Do I want them? Yes, I want them. Do I have a budget for it? No, I don't have a budget for it. But I have ways and means that I can get them. But because they're about $3,000 a piece per year. Initially, since we don't have none, it's about $3,600 to get a flock camera system put up, and it's good for a year. Then you got to break it down by 365 and figure out what it would cost today. But what it does, it replaces manpower as far as you look at an investigator going out trying to beat the bush, talk to neighbors, look for witnesses and things like that. We're spending man hours. We're not paying. I mean, once you pay, this is a dedicated cost. And we can use that, and then that can accelerate our investigation, and we can help the victims more in what we're trying to do, you know, if somebody becomes a victim.
So. Harrelson County Sheriff Stacy Williams, our guest this morning. Thanks for coming down, buddy.
No, I appreciate it, and I just want to tell the people of Harrelson County that you're out here listening, we're here for you. I work for you, only you, and we're here to do the right thing, and we're here to support you in any way. And if you need any help or if you have a problem, question, or comment, please reach out to me. You can call the Harrelson County Sheriff's Office at 646-2011. We want to hear from you. We want to know. But thank you for having faith in us, and we're here to serve you, and we're here for you.
Pert near 9 o'clock. Stay tuned for national news coming up at the top of the hour. Everybody have a great weekend.